Jesus says he has come to give his life as a ransom for many. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And they were on a road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man," and he's talking about himself, "came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In the run-up to Christmas here at St. John's, we've been asking the question, why did Jesus come? It's a question that the Bible asks and answers from a number of different angles. In the Bible reading we've just had, we hear Jesus himself telling us why he has come. And what Jesus thinks on the topic is obviously important. I don't know what brought you along to St. John's this evening, whether you're here because you're a dedicated worshipper of the Lord Jesus, or because this is your chance for an annual blast through of the classic carols, because you were invited by a Christian friend or neighbour or colleague or family member and you didn't want to let them down. Whatever the case, we're really glad that you're here. I don't know how much time you spend thinking about Jesus, but even if it is hardly any between one Boxing Day and the next Christmas Eve, I doubt, given that you're here, that many of us feel we're actively opposed to Jesus. You might have a vague sense that you probably want to align yourself with whatever it is that he stands for. But that's why it's so important to know what it is that Jesus does stand for. I was tucking my daughter into bed once when she was quite little, and she said, "Daddy, you're my BFF. And then before I had time to wipe the tear from my eye, let alone think of a suitable response, she added, "Daddy, what is a BFF? I said, "I think it stands for best friends forever." And she said, "Oh, well, maybe not my BFF exactly." You don't want to go on thinking that you are friends with Jesus on the basis of a misunderstanding about what that means. If you want to know whether you are aligned with Jesus or not, you need to be clear on how Jesus answers the question, why did Jesus come? But before we answer it, just notice that even to address the question suggests that Jesus thinks he is something pretty remarkable. For one thing, Jesus talks about his coming as though before he was born as a baby at Christmas, he was somewhere else. The Bible claims that, unlike you and I, Jesus didn't begin to exist at conception. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, existed from all eternity. And at Christmas, as we just sang, he entered our world by taking on a full human nature, making Jesus fully divine and fully human. So that's pretty remarkable. And for another thing, it's remarkable to talk about the purpose of his coming at all. God has put me on this earth for a reason that you need to know about. Most of us don't talk like our lives have some great kind of cosmic significance like that, unless we're Napoleon or have psychiatric delusions of grandeur. But quite unselfconsciously, Jesus says, my arrival in this world is of global, indeed eternal significance. You need to know why I have come. Why did Jesus come? If it sounds arrogant for Jesus even to address the question, the even more remarkable thing for this man who is very God is that his answer is so astonishingly humble. Why did Jesus come? Two parts to the answer. First, Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to serve. For even the Son of Man, says Jesus about himself, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, as he often does in the Gospel accounts, he's identifying himself with a figure that the prophet Daniel had spoken of hundreds of years before. And God had given Daniel a vision in which one like a Son of Man, that is, a human being, came before the throne of God the Father and was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And Jesus says, I am the Son of Man, that figure that Daniel saw. I am the King of God's everlasting kingdom. It is my right that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve me. And yet, that isn't the whole story. Despite being the one whom everyone on the planet ought to serve, the reason for Jesus' birth on that first Christmas, he says, was so that he might serve us. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Have you ever thought about how strange that is? Next time you're at a restaurant and the waiter comes round and asks, what can I get you for your starter? Try this for fun. Try replying, no. What can I get you? I used to like that TV show, Undercover Boss. I don't know if you ever saw that. The all-powerful CEO of General Motors, or whatever it is this time, puts on a wig and a prosthetic nose and spends a week tightening wing nuts on the assembly line to see what life is like for his employees. I imagine that for some CEOs that feels like a great climb down in status. But of course, it's not in any fundamental sense, is it? CEOs and assembly line workers are all just people. But for the God who created the universe to step down into and become a part of his own creation demonstrates a sort of humility that you will never quite get your head around. God from God, light from light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Christmas is the moment when God himself chooses to share in the human experience. I don't know how 2024 has been for you. I imagine there's been some joys. I imagine there's been some sorrows. That is the human experience, isn't it? And Christmas tells us that God himself knows human joys and human sorrows, not through some distant omniscience, but by experience. Hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. And Jesus didn't just come to sympathize, he came to serve. As though he didn't just come down to our level, he descended beneath us. Jesus came to serve. We don't always find it easy to let other people serve us. And why does it bother us when we get a Christmas card from the neighbor and we realize we didn't give them one? And if they give us biscuits, oh, we feel terrible. We find it very difficult to receive unreciprocated favors. Perhaps you think, well, I basically approve of Jesus. I'm certainly not opposed to him. Have you grasped this about the purpose of his coming? Jesus doesn't want you to just approve of him or to be inspired by his example. He doesn't in the first place want you to do something for him. He came to serve us. If we want to align ourselves with Jesus, that means letting him serve us. As my colleague Tom likes to say, is Christmas all about what we can get out of it? Absolutely. The point of Christmas, says the Bible, is not about what we give to others. It is about what God gives to us. Jesus came to serve. But in what way does Jesus want to serve us? Why did Jesus come? Second part of the answer. Jesus came to die. Jesus came to die. For even the Son of Man, says Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As I said earlier, few of us would be bold enough to claim, as Jesus does, that our lives have some great cosmic significance for all of humanity. And of those who are willing to say something like that, I can't think of anyone but Jesus who thinks that the reason they have been born is so that they can die. For almost every other religious leader, their death was the tragic end of their story. Someone has written, the focus in every other world religion is on a leader's life and teachings. Muhammad died at 62, Confucius died at 72, the Buddha died at 80. The death of each of these leaders marks the end of their mission. With Jesus, who died at 30-something, it's the total opposite. Jesus was constantly speaking about the significance of his death in such a way that the central symbol of Christianity for the last 2,000 years has been a cross, a place of death. Jesus says he came to give his life. Jesus came to die. But how is dying an act of serving us? Well, Jesus says he gives his life as a ransom, which must mean that we need setting free. As we sang earlier, O come, true branch of Jesse, free your children from this tyranny, from depths of hell, your people save, to rise victorious from the grave. The Bible warns us that by nature, we are held captive by our sin, our rebellion against God, and by the eternal death that comes as God's judgment on our sin. You might dispute Jesus' claim that you need setting free from sin. I'm sure I do things that are wrong from time to time, but I'm not held captive by sin. But what if we're self-deluded, like the addict who says, I can stop any time I want to? Let me suggest a little experiment. When you wake up on Christmas morning, see if you can get as far as the King's Speech without doing anything impatient, saying anything unkind, or thinking anything selfish. If you have children under 10, you can stop the experiment at about 7 a.m. By nature, we're not free not to sin, and we can't stop whenever we want to. We're held captive by sin. And that is bad news now, because we're missing out on the best way to live, God's way. And it's worse news for the future, because the Bible says that God will one day judge us for our rebellion against him. And the good news of Christmas is that Jesus came to die as a ransom to set us free from sin and judgment and death. The baby Jesus, laid in a manger for his bed, grew up to be a man who never did or said or thought anything impatient or unkind or selfish. And as the sinless Jesus died on a cross, that was God taking my sin and his own judgment for my sin on himself, so that Jesus' perfection could be credited to me. His death is a swap, it is a ransom that sets me free. As we'll sing in our final carol, Jesus was born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. If we want to align ourselves with Jesus, we need first to accept that we are held captive by sin and judgment and death, and second, to let Jesus serve us, to set us free, by asking for his death to count in our place. Ultimately, the reason we find it hard to let others serve us is that it is humbling to accept that we can't do everything for ourselves, and we need others to do things for us. But when it comes to our sin, the Bible says we'd be fools to insist on dealing with it ourselves. That way lie the depths of hell. And Jesus offers to free us from that tyranny by dying in our place. We need to pray for the humility to let Jesus serve us. Jesus says the whole reason for his coming is so that he might serve us by dying in our place as a ransom. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to die. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." As we close, just notice the last two words of that verse. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many, and not for all. I'm singing with gusto about the Jesus who was born that man no more may die is not the same thing as accepting that offer for ourselves. And we don't want to go on thinking that we're friends with Jesus on the basis of the misunderstanding that his death requires no response. His death is not a ransom for all. But nor is it for a few either. Every Christmas, this most wonderful time of the year, there are many who are struck anew by the realization that Jesus came to serve us by dying as a ransom for us, and who ask for his death to count in their place. Perhaps that could be you this Christmas. May God the Father, by the power of his Spirit, make real to you and your family this Christmas the blessing of knowing him through his Son Jesus. Amen.